Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan, and I'm here with Adam.
Hey.
Chad.
Howdy.
And Phil.
Hello.
All right, now, as you can tell probably by what you're listening, this is not a normal episode. So if this is your first time to the feartheboot.com site, either because you were sent here by a friend or maybe you just picked up one of our business cards from the Archon Gaming Convention we're sitting at right now, this is not a typical episode. We usually edit these, package them differently, and we also talk about different subjects than what we're going to talk about here. So please, if this is your first time here, go back and check out a different episode, maybe like episode 21 first, and then come back to this one after you're a little more comfortable with what we typically do. Now, we're doing this episode here at Archon because if you...
What is Archon, Dan?
Okay, yeah, we should explain. The Archon is a St. Louis area gaming convention. Was held in St. Louis at one point, is now held right across the Mississippi River in Collinsville, Illinois. If you don't know the geography of the area real well, that's not a long distance at all. It's very, very short ways away. And it is a science fiction, fantasy, and gaming convention for the area. And we wanted to do a podcast live while we're here because if you've been following the cast for a while, around episode 14, we went to Gen Con in Indianapolis, and it went horribly for us.
Terrible. It was absolutely atrocious. And it wasn't Gen Con's fault. It wasn't the podcast event that was at fault. It was us. We totally dropped the ball. All these events conspired against us, and then we just totally wimped out and didn't persevere. But we vowed that we were going to do it right when we got to Archon, and then we were going to do Gen Con right next year. And this is the first step of that stage, and we're doing Archon. And I got to tell you, I'm having a blast. I am working my butt off with this Fear the Boot thing going on at this con, and I'm loving every minute of it.
All right, let's come back. We'll go back to the blast thing in a second. But first, let's talk about how this is a healing process for us, because for next year for Gen Con, we are going to plan, like, way in advance, so, you know, almost a year in advance. Same thing, my room for Archon 2007 is already reserved. For this one, we weren't able to quite do that amount of preparation, but we did at least get hotel rooms and did get into the area correctly and had some kind of a preparation here. Now, one of the things we were hoping to do...
We almost didn't make it into the area correctly. We had a little trouble finding your hotel, Dan, but...
Yeah, I had a reservation at the Ramada that was on Commerce Street or Commerce Road or something. Chad and I drive up and down that road, and there's no Ramada anywhere.
And this road is like a block long with five hotels on it. It's not like it's hidden.
Well, it's Illinois, and there are no street signs on Illinois.
Well, that wasn't the problem. We drive up and down, can't find this Ramada. Finally call the Ramada and say, look, where are you guys? Like, oh, we're a day's in now. And, of course, nobody told me this at any point along the way, so I've been driving right past my hotel not knowing what it was. Now, this year at Archon, our involvement is quite a bit different than our involvement in this con ever before.
Press pass!
Press passes!
Yes, these guys gave us press passes, and with these press passes, we've been wandering. I'm looking at mine right now. It's admiring it. They gave us basically the keys to the con. They let us do full press coverage, gave us access to the VIP lounge, all those kinds of stuff. Five panels, not one, but five panels to conduct. All kinds of neat stuff. If Phil has something he wants to kick in here. We have only one mic. We usually use four, so you have to excuse the mic passing.
They're so proud of their press passes, they're waving them around at everybody as if they were backstage passes to the best concert in the world.
Oh, yes.
Well, I wouldn't say it's so much that, but for people who have been running a podcast for about 4 months now, I mean, to have any kind of recognition or legitimacy is a huge boon and a huge boost to the show.
Well, that coupled with, this is my eighth Archon. I have two ribbons on my badge now, and one of them says press. That's awesome.
We're hoping to do this a little better next year because we've talked about a lot on our show how we think the listeners to most podcasts are cross-pollinating from other podcasts. And we have good reason to believe that. And we know there's a large percentage of gamers out there who are into this kind of stuff but don't listen to podcasts. And we want to start reaching them and going, of course, where your audience is, in this case a combination convention that includes gaming, is a great way to do that. And next year, we have some plans about things we want to change. I'm a firm believer that nobody does anything correctly the first time they do it. And we've come here doing the press thing And there's definitely some things that have worked and some things that have not, and some things we're hoping to better plan and prepare for next year. So one of the things we want to do, for example, is get broader event like coverage leading up to it, talking to the staff about how it's going down months beforehand, spend some organized interview time talking with the people walking by. We're sitting here in a gaming room, so people keep walking by and looking in.
You know, they weren't even looking in until Phil got up and closed the curtain. So now that we're isolated, now they move the curtain to look in to see what we're doing.
We're all huddled around a mic, so we must be making out.
So, you know, and I think it's actually really sort of poetic, I guess, that we're doing a gaming podcast in the gaming room of a sci-fi fantasy convention. Can you get possibly any more dorky than that, Dan?
You could. If we
roll for dorkitude.
Yes, if we were rolling for who gets to talk on the mic next, or we had cards we were throwing down, like you're about to say something, you put down a Chad Talks card, and then I throw down on top of that something like...
Tangent killing.
Chad throws out a tangent, and that's the end of it. Or strange person looks in through the curtain because they think we're a bunch of queers making out, you know, or whatever.
Oh my God, is this a Fear the Boot CCG con edition in the making?
We should make something like that. We should make something like that. Now let's talk about con going in general. Now we're sitting here at a con. It's been a little awkward for us. We had a guy in a panel earlier ask us if we consider ourselves press or not, despite the fact they're wearing the badges. The answer is no, that I've always thought of myself as just an internet entertainer, never as a press individual. But walking around doing all these interviews and such has been honestly a little bit awkward because I'm kind of feeling out what to say. And in some ways, it's given me a different view on the con because we're here working. We're not here enjoying the con. And I'm not saying we aren't enjoying the con. We are. But we're not just wandering around in our black trench coats and anime costumes. Yeah, actually, we're all sitting around, for the most part, wearing jeans or cargo shorts and these kind of medium to light gray Fear the Boot T-shirts. So there's nothing strange about our dress, really.
Except for me, and I am dressed up as Colonel O'Neill from SG-1.
And not just dressed up, I mean, he is wearing head-to-toe camouflage with a fake gun, all the SG-1 patches in their proper places, and in fact, he even dyed his hair grayish.
You know, there seems to be, within gaming circles, a lot of difficulty about, in some ways, stating the truth. That it has only recently become acceptable to actually say, you know, look, gamers are nerds, us included. We're not calling you guys nerds. We are nerds, too.
Oh, yeah.
And with cons, I kind of feel like there's this political correct thing I have to tread here in calling a con for what it is, especially a sci-fi fantasy con above and beyond a gaming con, which it's a bit of a freak show. And there's nothing wrong with that, per se. We actually just interviewed, probably the most interesting interview of the con we did, was with these two ladies who had a history going way back into conventions. In fact, we were talking to a lady whose father went to one of the first ever sci-fi fantasy cons in, like, the 1950s. And they were talking about how there's a great fact here that people can have these sort of fantasy lives, or, and I don't mean in some delusional way, but just have this sort of creative side of themselves they can express here and feel safe to do that, you know, as nobody really cares. But nonetheless, you got to admit, as you walk around, you see a bit of a freak show. So I'm going to ask you guys the question I've been asking some of the people we've interviewed. Strangest thing you have seen all con. What has that been?
Strangest thing I have seen all con is not a single thing, but we were sitting there, we were partying last night and around the beer keg and whatnot, and then I see one of the X-Men walk up. Then I see another one. Then I see another one. 8 X-Men later, all these X-Men are standing around, and the costumes are so cool, too, because it isn't necessarily they're in spandex and stuff. It's like if the X-Men has a civilian version of his costume, you know, like the Beast has his spandex sort of muscle costume, and he wears a suit, they wore the civilian costume. Angel was there, shirt and tie with the angel wings sticking out the back. It was really cool, but some of them were in the spandex type ones, and they had bad guys. They had like Pyro and Magneto, and these X-Men just kept on walking through. It was a big group of them all together. Really, really cool, and it was just like, where the hell are all these X-Men coming from?
Well, no matter how many times I come to Archon, I can still never get over the freakishly undressed people that are here that have...
Such as your wife?
Well, I helped her dress. I picked out her clothes, so I can't say on her. But anyways, sometimes, I think one year, or actually, no, it was this year, I think I saw duct tape over nipples to hide them. So, on someone. I could have sworn I saw that. Maybe it was last year. I don't know. Same person every year comes on looking like that.
You know, we're coming up on a decade of Archon, and nothing here really shocks me anymore. I mean, let's see, the strangest thing I think we saw, that old man we talked to last night, that crazy old sheriff guy, that interview that we did.
Awesome.
Yeah, that guy was awesome and crazy. Talk about him.
This guy, he had been to every Archon since probably before we were born. And he had all the pins. Archon gives you pins when you get a membership. And he had all the pins on his cowboy hat. He had cowboy pants on, a cowboy vest, a cowboy shirt, the sort of string tie. He had a cowboy hat. He had a sheriff's badge. This is a sci-fi fantasy convention. He's dressed up as a sheriff. He had the sort of old-style handlebar mustache, and he talked with a southern drawl, and he has this big old glass of beer. And it was like, we just walked up to him. We started interviewing. He was so cool, and we're like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I come every year. I've been coming for years, and I just love watching the people. You know, something to do on a Friday night.
This was a guy who had been asked to Moses Con and just hasn't stopped going yet.
After that interview, we moved right on to Mario. After we started interviewing Mario for a few seconds, Mario told us a story about how he had to kill Luigi and bury the body. That the series of interviews we did last night, where we actually sat down and started talking to congoers, was the most bizarre thing I've seen in 8 years. Like, usually you see the guys and you're like, whoa, check out that costume, and you keep walking. Asking the people about the costume, twice as entertaining.
I agree completely. If you ever had the situation in your life where you meet a really pretty girl or a really attractive guy, depending on which way you go, and they seem great until you start talking to them and they open their mouth, and it just destroys the illusion. And it's kind of the same thing here, that you walk through the halls of the con, you see these people dressed in just outlandish stuff. And sometimes you stop and talk to them, and they're really cool and really interesting. Other times, they match that costume, and you are better off in your naivete having no idea what it is these people are like.
One of the funniest things that I witnessed yesterday night was when we were interviewing, or they were interviewing somebody from Pluto or Venus or the 60s or whatever it was, and the guy just wouldn't shut up, basically, was the point. He was very funny, and then he just wouldn't shut up. And then basically Adam, I think, came up and said, hey, look over there. The guy looked, and those two ran off, and I had to actually look where Adam was pointing, and then me and Chad were, like, standing with this guy, and so I'm like, Chad, let's go. So we ran, and the guy's, like, off in the background going, you bastards.
You never see Tom Brokaw doing that kind of interview, baby, let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to think what the strangest thing I've seen at Archon this year is. And I'm going to have to say, and it's not even all that outlandish, it just seems so out of place here, is the guy walking around wrapped basically in a loincloth. I guess he's supposed to be Tarzan, except he's carrying a sword. So I don't know if there's... I don't know how that figures into Tarzan, or if maybe I'm missing the boat and he's supposed to be... He's something else I can't think of. Oh... Uncle Samurai. Yeah, we interviewed a guy yesterday who was dressed up like in a long coat, had this great big puffy, like comedic looking, cartoonish looking, I guess is a better word, red, white, and blue hat, like an Uncle Sam hat, and he had a katana on him, and he introduced himself as Uncle Samurai. That was one of the stranger things we've seen here. You know, for next year, I really hope there's a lot more we can do with this. I think, you know, that as we've done these panels, we've talked to people about how podcasting is still something that's a very, very nascent technology and a nascent culture, that has not is very, very close, but has not yet quite come into its own right as a force to be reckoned with. I can think how listening to the news over the past several years, we've watched internet blogging or people writing online editorials go from this sort of thing that nobody took seriously, you know, hey, everybody out there's got a blog, to now there's a handful that are really watched, and even the large political organizations are starting to take this medium seriously. And I think that podcasting will get there if we as podcasters keep taking this seriously ourselves, and we keep trying to push ourselves bigger and bigger in the role that we play in terms of helping people accomplish things like promote and carry on their cons. So this is something I've got my eye already. I mean, from day one we walked in here, I knew from making our podcast, it was 5 or 6 episodes to get our pace down, and I knew the moment I walked in here that this was not going to go perfectly, and I had my eyes on the prize of how do we do this better next year.
Yeah, exactly. We came in this saying this is going to be our test bed. This is going to be where we make mistakes, we have successes, we think of things that we didn't think about going into this, and we just improve ourselves, because next year for Archon is NASFIC, where they are combining a convention called NASFIC, which is really, really huge, thousands of people, with Archon, which is really, really huge with thousands of people. And if we have the same level of representation that we have here, then we will be in a really good position to bring a lot of people not only to our show, which is, of course, what we really want to do. We really want to bring people to our show, but also bring people to podcasting and to the other gaming podcasters in general, and also just spread the word about how fun and how cool podcasting really is.
Let's talk gaming for a second here, because that's what we do as a podcast.
And that's where we are.
Yeah, we're sitting here in a gaming room. I actually have some other things we could talk about with the con. We'll come back to those. But with gaming, we actually have not had too much of an opportunity to get in on any games. There was a guy, a friend of ours, actually was kicking off a Battletech game that we wanted to sit in on. But
oh, man, yeah, and he listens to the show sometime, and, dude, we really wanted to get in on the Battletech game. But you know how it is. We were busy. We were at this con working. We were working this con. It's tough, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm with Chad. We've had a pretty tight schedule. We had to hit dinner because right after dinner, we had to do an interview. We ended up doing another interview, and then we had to sit down and record this. Let's talk about that middle interview. As many of you know, listen to the show, I'm a disaffected 40K player.
I've
enjoyed the game, but too many things about it have put me off. And our fans apparently have been in on a hit game that we just didn't know about called War Machine by Privateer Press.
Yeah, we're actually a couple years behind on it.
Yeah, I'm surprised we've never heard about this, but they got us in on it, and we actually just ran into a guy who is some kind of
he's a demoer. He's running demos for Privateer Press.
Right, so we sat down with him and had him run us through a game of Signar versus Kador, or Kador, I don't know how you pronounce it, and then talked to us about the game. We got an interview with him that we're probably going to at least, I don't know if we'll put it on the Fear the Boot feed, but we will at least point it a link somewhere off our site to it, our forums, at feartheboot.com, because I know we have a lot of people interested in War Machine. It's nothing real interesting. There's no great big bombs in there that you didn't know. But we just kind of get a sense from him about what the game's like and what makes it different than the other war games out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this game, it's not a matter of this is just going to revolutionize wargaming. I mean, it might be a real big fad, too. But we just really enjoyed it, and I think it's a really great alternative to 40K. But we'll see. And, you know, as Dan and I play it, and as we're going to try to get Adam in on, he's adamant that he's not going to play it, but, you know, he's weak, so we can do it. Sorry, somebody just peeked in and thought he's going to yell at us. But as I was saying, we'll probably dedicate a war game. We're definitely going to do a tabletop wargaming episode, but non-Battletech, if you can believe it, which I can't. But we'll probably do a War Machine episode, yeah, once we get playing.
You know, Phil wants to mic. I'll pass to him here in just one sec. But I was just going to comment that we seem to do all of our con episodes dangerously. Our Gen Con episode was done driving irresponsibly down the interstate back home. And now we're sitting here crashing a room at a table we're not supposed to be at, waiting to get ejected.
Yeah. At these cons, they have games that run, and then they have the numbers on the table, and you're supposed to, at this time, be at this table and run this game. Our table is GRC31. Nobody's here now, but somebody can walk in any minute and say, what the hell are you guys doing? If they do, we're going to sit them down and we're going to interview them. But, never know. Phil?
Well, now that Chad has gone off onto a lovely tangent, let me pull you back on track. What I wanted to mention about... Oh, never mind. What I wanted to mention about War Machine was that what I loved about it, just by looking at it, was that the stats of the figs were on cards that you could easily keep track of. And from playing lots of Warhammer 40K and Fantasy, where you have to keep lots of, like, sheets around, it is very tedious to keep track of different units on that sheet, and it's a lot easier to do that. So I think it would make the game go a lot faster.
All right, let's talk for a minute here about the ladies, about our wives that have been here. I want to say a couple things. First of all, I want to say
one thing to the ladies. Bravo. Thank you.
Yeah, they have been a huge help to us this year. When we came in, one of the things we were hoping to get out of this is to get our name out there to people that are gamers but not podcast listeners, as we keep saying. And they did a lot of grunt work, went out, hung up flyers, passed out business cards. And let me tell you, a simple fact of the matter is, two girls bursting out of camis when they walk up to you with a business card, you're more likely to accept than from us. And this bore out. This is exactly what happened. Hung up flyers all over the place. When security griped about the kind of tape, they went back by themselves, took down the flyers, put on the different kinds of tape or ticky-tack or whatever, and re-put them back up. All kinds of thankless grunt work, and we are extremely in their debt for what they have done for this show. So I want to go on record here thanking them hugely. Becky and Melina in particular, and also Carl and Dawn for things they've done throughout this con to help us out.
And I never thought I would see so many pairs of women busting out of clothes like that. I mean, it's just crazy, and that'll get you some...
Clothes with our branding.
Clothes with our branding, yes. And I'd like to point out that was not our idea. I mean, I think it's kind of funny that we sell ourselves as such an intellectual show where we analyze things and have these deep discussions, and then to advertise it, we just find the biggest breasts we can and slap our logo right on it.
It is probably the most lowbrow thing we have ever done on this show and may ever do again.
Lowbrow and successful.
Yeah, you know, we were interviewing an artist yesterday, and I was talking to him, and most of his art was of women barely dressed. He's like, yep, I like the babes, and the babes sell well. It's lowbrow, but you're right. I can't argue with you in any way, shape, or form. Let's also talk about the ladies while they were here. Melina had this thing. There's a group out there called the Zombie Squad, which is a group that comes out, and they straight-face and deadpan. Of course, it's just an act, but they deadpan that they are preparing for the coming zombie apocalypse. And they come out in riot gear with fake machine guns. They even have vans they've actually bolted real sheets of metal onto to look like armor plates. And I found out, apparently, they actually do a little bit of a public service, because Melina was saying that what they actually do is, under the guise of talking about surviving the coming zombie apocalypse, they actually talk about disaster survival. And they talk about, this is how you would survive, this is the things you should have at home to survive any disaster, a storm, an earthquake, A-bomb going off, whatever.
They just put it under the sort of guise of a zombie attack to make you remember it, to have it be funny, and have it be fun to do. Zombie Squad is just a great organization, because they also do a lot of local charity work, too. They do blood drives, canned food drives, again, all under this guise of zombies and surviving the zombie apocalypse, and they put this great esprit de corps to them. You know, years ago when they first started hanging around, I was just like, oh, what's this? It's a bunch of hard asses, you know? There's a bunch of guys in costumes. Why, you'll never see them again. But you know what? The more I learn about them, the cooler I think they are. So...
Well, this year, Melina put to organize, along with Becky, a fairly large protest of them under an organization called HAFU, which you can find at HAFU.org, which is Human Advocates for the Undead. And they put on this flower child protest. We actually had Axe, or Aram, from our previous shows. He came out and played guitar. They sang protest songs, held hands, held up protest signs. When one of the zombie squad guys came in, they surrounded him in a human chain and put flowers in the barrel of his gun and had this great big, like, flower child hippie protest for the discrimination against the undead. It came off wonderfully. We had one lady get really mad because apparently the protest songs drowned out a panel. But we got some great pictures. We did some at least one quick audio interview there that will be on the Archon feed. That went down awesome.
When I was doing the interview before that for the Archon feed, I had Aram and Melina sing the song, and I recorded the song. So there's a little bit of their custom lyrics in there.
You know, I haven't heard this yet because this started while we were wrapping up a panel. So Adam ducked out while the rest of us stayed in there and finished up the panel. So he recorded some audio there I have not heard yet. Now, when I showed up later and he gave me the mic back, I did an interview or two of my own. But I'm interested. Well, I don't know what material you got. So I'm interested in going through there and hearing what you had in there. But it was a hysterical and a huge success. Security got mad and eventually ran us off. But I don't know.
Which to me means it was even more of a success.
Yeah, see, and I don't know why, because honestly, what people remember at the cons is the spontaneous weird stuff like that. And having walked around this con doing interviews and such, I will tell you right now, I have not seen that many people standing there gathered around any single event outside of the Masquerade Ball than I did around that zombie protest. I mean, this is something that people remember and come back for next year.
One thing I do have to say is, as individual protesters, we sucked at it because we complained about protesting. We were like, it's hot, it's sweaty. And then when everybody would come and say, you got to move, you got to go here, you got to go somewhere else, you're not in the right spot, we complied. We didn't put up any fight. We just went.
I also want to say, too, if you look at the pictures, the HAFU organization had a zombie that they weren't key. They were trying to liberate and trying to free. And our own Phil Hicks here played the zombie. Great makeup, great acting. We actually, great brains. We actually got an interview with Zombie Hicks, and it was awesome. One of the most intelligent interviews we've ever done.
About if you're listening to this, and we're not going to put a lot of this on our website just because of the fact that, I mean, we want to stick to our normal topic of gaming, not necessarily go way into the cons. But if you want to hear some of the interviews and coverage we did as we tested the waters for this, you can go to Archon STL, no www, just start at Archon STL, ArchonSTL. Libsyn.com. ArchonSTL.libsyn.com. That is the full feed that will have all the audio. The panels we did five panels by the time we're done on podcasting. We're going to have done all kinds of interviews, so check it out there if you really want to hear that. We will also, tons of pictures Chad's been taking and the rest of us been taking. We're also going to post a link to this somewhere on the front page blog of the Fear the Boot site. So if you just can't remember this URL or you're at work right now or whatever, when you get home, go to feartheboot.com, look on that front page blog for this episode, which will probably be 22, and you will find somewhere on there a link to this Archon site so you can listen to stuff yourself.
As the resident alcoholic on the board, I need to remind you guys that the party is going to start imminently.
I think that we have time to do you want to cover a gaming topic to actually give some gaming advice and actually do a Fear the Boot instead of just what our day was? What do you guys feel like?
You know, I'm not against that. We hadn't prepared for this. I'd mostly intend to do con talk. I don't have one on top of my head. Is anything getting your guys' goat right now that we could talk about, kick around? While we're thinking about that, Chad, do you want to talk about people at half-ass con costumes? You have this rant. You've been this boiling in you. Ready, set, fire.
What is the deal with people? And okay, the guys walking around, ninja costume, head to toe, you can only see his eyes. Fully black. He's got the ninja toe katana. He's got a shuriken. He's all in black, except he's wearing white tennis shoes. What are you doing? The other extreme to that, which just drives me insane, are the people who wear blue jeans, tennis shoes, t-shirt, has a funny gaming slogan on it, belt, they're wearing maybe, you know, sunglasses, wristwatch, and a long, flowing, embroidered medieval cape flowing onto the ground behind them. Or their guy in blue jeans, t-shirt, and, you know, normal street clothes, except they've got, like, some sort of battle gear on over it, like webbing and a pistol. Or they're carrying around a fake MP5. It's these costumes that you're not dressed up as anything. Or your costume is so, some one part of it is so inaccurate that it just detracts from the entire costume. I'm not saying that all these costumes have to be perfect and meet my standards or my expectations, but it's just a matter of, why are you wearing a sword and a gun belt and a hat with a huge long feathers, and then you're wearing a t-shirt and blue jeans? It's like, we'll go one way or the other. It's just so frustrating, especially when there's so many good costumes out there.
Every single episode we do, or at least most we do, Chad has to give at least one incendiary opinion to get somebody sending email. And so this was probably it. So if you want to comment on this, chad@feartheboot.com. If you want to comment on anything on the show, positive, negative, once again, this is a weird episode for us, so if this is strange to you, go back to episode 21. But if you have comments on the show as a whole, please stop by at feartheboot.com, hit the forums, whatever. You want to do a gaming topic, as I'm sitting here looking around, there's one really obvious topic staring us in the face. We talked about this way early on in the show. First, second, third episode, somewhere in there. We talked about gaming in public. And when we talked about it, we said kind of how we have trouble gaming in public for a variety of reasons. One is we hate feeling on display. We can't comfortably kick back and role play with people watching. Yeah, gaming's not a spectator sport. Secondly, because we have trouble finding games that are kind of like what it is we want, that we like the deep stories and things like that. And not always, but typically when you sit in on a game at a con, it's just people looking to have fun. And so the games, whether they're meant to be or not, become power games. But let's say for a minute, let's take it from our angle. What do you think it takes to put on or to play in, we'll take it from two angles, to host or to participate in a good, satisfying game at a con?
Like one with deep role-playing and whatnot?
Well, maybe. And, you know, I actually would start kind of along those lines of saying, you know, the first thing is you've got to have realistic expectations. You're at a con, maybe a serious gaming con, maybe like our con where it's more of a party con. So, I mean, you've got to have your expectations colored. So, yeah, maybe it's a deep, serious game. Maybe it's not. You know, it depends on what the person's after.
I would have to say, and again, this is not hard and fast rules here. This is not something that's like, you have to do this or you won't have fun in the gaming room. No, that's bull. I look around, I see 30 different groups playing 30 different games, 30 totally different ways, and everybody in this room is having a blast. I would just, as suggestions, if you want to sit down and have a role-playing game and you want your people to get in character, you want to develop characters, as a game master, pre-written characters. You do a one-page write-up, pretty simple, on the character. You do their character sheet for them. It's all made up, and you put them into envelopes, and you write a little note on the envelope. That way, it does two things. One, it gives them a character to work with that has, and you put in the detail, the write-up as well, its emotions and whatnot, the character motivations, not just their history and background. It allows people just to sit down, read this over, and start playing. You don't have to worry about, like, quickly rolling up a character and then somebody's sitting there and they're thinking about their plot, they're thinking about their family and stuff. You can just jump right into it because these games are temporary. You know, you're on a time limit, so to speak. Phil, you want to say, Ed?
I was able to sit in on one game, an SG-1 game, and it was pretty fun. The GM was able to do, as you mentioned, print out some pre-generated characters, which was actually kind of cool. It's basically a diplomat group, And what he also did, which helped really nicely, is that he printed out rules. He printed out what your standard actions are, what your half actions are, and then what you can do for free. And then he also printed out other things that a lot of people would pick and nip at, like there are no free chances of attack, things like that. And so things that like boggle and bog down a game from going really fast to a halt all of a sudden, you know, these things will take the game down. And he printed that out, and it helped the game go by really fast.
You know, I think setting expectations of the players is an important thing to do. And I think that's a good one, stating your rules up front, especially house rules, to avoid slowing down the game later on with these huge arguments about rules. Now, one of the things I was thinking is that when you run a game in a con, some of the biggest pitfalls you can fall into is the fact you don't know who you're going to get. That you may have people, complete strangers coming in that may have some varying expectation of your game. You may have transients where they come and go because they've got other things going on during the con. And so I was going to recommend a couple things that I thought of just kind of here on the spot to help you get around that. Number one is, despite what we normally recommend in our campaigns, don't tie any character too intimately into the plot, because you don't know who's playing it, you don't know how seriously they're going to take it, you don't know how long they're going to stick around. So tie no character too tightly into the plot. Secondly, if it's possible at the con, state up front the kind of game this is, the kind of people you want. Describe this as a storytelling, non-combat game, or a high-combat dungeon crawl, or whatever it is you're trying to do. So hopefully, you will get some small amount of self-regulation of who's coming in. The third thing I was going to suggest, because this is actually something our extended group of friends have done with success at various cons, is sit down at a table and start gaming the game immediately with your small group of friends, because you have already set the tone for the game. And when these other people come in, you are adding them into this game. You're bringing them into this existing flow. And once again, you can get the Yahoo idiot in there who's just going to do his own thing no matter what. But you do at least now have some hope that someone who's got three brain cells to connect will now sit down and kind of join the flow of your game and the emotion of your game, whatever that may be. So I think that right there is important. Now, I realize if you had to schedule it at a start time, that may not be as easy as it would be if you're doing an impromptu game. So, I mean, maybe with a scheduled game, you really should do something like start with the action on the people you know. As you're getting the action together, focus on the two or three friends of yours. Not forever. Don't alienate your newcomers. But just at first, because they're going to follow that lead. It's human nature in general. Excuse the tangent here. But I was once sitting through a training course at a corporation where he did a little experiment where he walked to the first person and said, "Tell me about yourself." And the lady said, "Well, my name's this. I'm this old. I work in this department. This is my pet." And every person in the room answered those exact same questions. Now, he never asked those questions, but we tend to fall into these kind of social grooves of our environment.
I think in one of the gaming tables something incredibly exciting just happened, or something incredibly tragic. We don't know which, but oh well.
Yeah, the volume did double from the folks directly across from us. But anyway, you know, people fall into these grooves, so use that to your advantage. You know, start off setting a kind of a pattern and a mojo of the type of game you want to run. You know, I'd love to see for some folks, because I'll admit our experience with this is a little bit limited. I'd love to see for some folks to get on feartheboot.com on the forums and post their own advice and stories, because they probably have seen a lot of things at different cons or different experiences, because we're kind of sitting here doing argument by anecdote. So I'd love to see some of these broader experiences folks talk about, the problems they've run into, and maybe this is something we'll develop further in a later episode.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we've said it in the past, we really don't game in public, and that also applies, we really don't game at cons. And much to the chagrin of Jim in Buffalo, we went to Gen Con and didn't play a single game. It's just not our thing. Again, we'll get back to our old saying, we don't think role-playing games are a spectator sport. I'll amend that with, we don't think games are a spectator sport for us. That doesn't mean that they're not, period. Again, we're sitting in this room. It's this huge hall that's, I can't even give you the dimensions of it. It's very, very large. Jam-packed with people that I'm sure you can hear in the background. There is the constant clatter of dice on table, cheers of victory, agonies of defeat, people talking, laughing, going back and forth. Every single one of them are gaming. They're gaming all different kinds of games. They're all having a ton of fun. It is just really neat being in this room and just seeing everybody interacting in this hobby that we feel so passionately about and just having a good old time.
And I want to be clear, this is an elitist thing that some folks, you know, would take this as saying we're too good to game with these people or whatever, and that's not the case at all. We've had some great games at cons, even some great games here today, like War Machine. What are you guys nodding to talk about? Just share with the class. Go on.
No, I'll just give the mic to Phil.
Well, what I was going to say was I was actually able to sit on a game this time, but last year was my first time actually gaming in public at the con, and I sat in on four games, and it was the first one was kind of weird because I wasn't used to gaming in public as per se, it was just very odd and peculiar and getting used to sitting with new people and experiencing with them and kind of working with them is the hardest part because they're so you don't know them and you don't know how they play, so you don't really know what their character's going to do.
Well, Phil, let me ask you this. When you sit down, is there a certain level of uncomfortableness, both in how you feel playing with those people and that you get a sense from the other people? Is there an uncomfortableness that is there? Does it go throughout the whole game? Do people get into a flow and then that just floats away?
On the games that I sat on, it got into a flow, but when I would sit down at the table, I usually, for some reason, got there first, and I don't know why, but I'd get there first, and I'd, you know, just start chatting with the GM to get, you know, see how he was, just small talk, you know, not even talking about the game, maybe talking about the series that the game was about or something else, basically a tangent, and then somebody else would talk come in, and I'd, you know, just start chit-chatting with them, basically figure out what they're like, and it would always go well until one guy sat in that is just smelly, he looks weird, he's got the funky glasses, not to say anything about glasses, which I had for a long time, but he just was the person that doesn't shower for a long time, and you just kind of want to not be there, but you have to, because you're there to game, and it's like, damn. What do I do? So,
Phil does not have a Fear of the Boot email account, so if you're looking to hate on Phil, you're going to have to do it on the forums. But, you know, something that I was going to suggest that you could also help is actually try and, if you can, meet the GM a little in advance. If you can, find the person who's doing it, say, look, what's this game going to be like? Something else that's helped me is, you know, game with a friend. That if you're going to a game you don't know anybody, bring some people you know so you have the social safety net, or if necessary, you now have a voting block to push and change the feel of the game a little.
As another tangent, the group that you're going to game with is going to be an odd assortment of people. Behind me, as I can kind of like peek voyeuristically through this curtain at the game that's going on behind us, there are four men in there who are probably in their 30s to 40s, and there are two children, like 8 and 10, and they are rolling dice and moving figs and playing, yelling at the GM, and it's awesome. There's a game going out in the front part of the room that we can't see right now, but there's a man in a full caveman, as full as a caveman outfit gets, with a bone, playing in character, grunting and moving his thing and tossing a dice angrily. It was the awesomest thing we'd seen.
You know, and I gotta say, I mean, it sounds like we're coming down on these con people, but honestly, we they're having a great time. If you come to these cons, there's got to be two things you expect. Number one, you're going to run into weird people, okay? There's a reason why these people, when they go back to their jobs as business accountants or lawyers or secretaries or whatever, don't dress this way, all right? Because this is for the normal society, a little bit strange. So you come into a con expecting that. And secondly, when you come into a con dressed that way, I mean, you do it to have fun. You do it to be a little outlandish. So you know, you got, it's all this stuff that we're saying we mean in good fun. But, yeah, I mean, that's I agree with you guys that when you game at a con, you have no idea what's going to be sitting at your table, you know, how they're going to be, what they're going to act like. You're taking a risk there, and you cannot take your gaming at a con too seriously. That you cannot, going back to expectations, you cannot sit down with this really detailed view of what this game is going to be like and all the depth you're going to get out of it in this really big juicy plot and character development in a 3 to 6 hour game with a bunch of random strangers in a con in a giant room filled with people who are yelling and peeking into your curtains. Oh, come on, you always have something to say. I just passed the mic over your way. You've got no shortage of opinions.
Well, the only thing I can reiterate is just how much fun these people are having. Oh, here we go, Phil.
And take showers.
Phil at Fear... Oh, wait a minute. He doesn't have him one. Okay. No, these people are just having a ton of fun. As the other hosts are talking, I'm listening into the other games, and just people are really getting into it. It seems like a lot of fun. But as much as I say that, it seems like a lot of fun, just me personally, not just something that I want to get into. I like gaming in my nice, quiet, safe apartment, with my carefully chosen friends, with our carefully chosen characters and plot lines and stuff. And, I don't know, like I said, the whole gaming scene at a convention just isn't for me. Now, on the other hand, I think demos are pretty cool. We had War Machine demoed to us, and Dan and I were kind of like, yeah, we wanted to do it, and yeah, it seemed interesting, yeah, we're going to get it. Then the guy demoed it for us, and we're like, yeah, we're in. We're all in.
I've seen this demoed. I wasn't actually there when they saw it demoed, but I've seen it demoed in, like, I think Clicks at a mall. And I thought it was pretty neat. One thing. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Clicks is the store. And what I'd like to see is if the book is cheap to see what that's like and see about getting a game going up on that. That would be kind of neat.
So, Adam, what's the chance of you getting in on War Machine?
I think it's pretty low, since I've told you I'm not getting in on it.
He is adamant about that. Yeah. Yeah.
You're really hard on these puns.
Yeah, I am. All right, well, I think that's about it for now, because Adam's sitting here. He's been, like, edging off his chair because he wants to go drink, and I need to go find Carla and see where she's at. So we're going to sign out for now. Once again, if this is your first time tuning in, this is not a typical episode. These are normally much more edited, focused on gaming, things like that, not in a loud room. Yeah, better. So go back, listen to episode 21. If this is not your first time with us, and thanks for tuning in again. And we will catch you guys next week for what I believe will be episode 23.
Yep. See ya.